Children, we don't like when restrictions are placed on us. We don't like it. It's kind of like there's this weight that's on us that when we get out from some umbrella of someone being in charge of us or dictating something, it's like we want to run around going, we're free, woo, because we don't like that. We don't like anybody to restrict us. We don't like for someone to tell us what to do. We don't like to be evaluated or questioned or judged. We don't like for someone to tell me that I can't do that. We don't like for someone to ask me why I'm doing that or to question me or to doubt me. We just want to be able to just do what I want to do, don't we? And if we're honest with ourselves, we just want to do what we think's right, what we think's best. We don't want somebody else to get involved in our decisions. We want to be free. But God's going to take us through a journey over the next several weeks on authority, and what does God want us to do with authority? What does God expect of me? So I want to be free, but what does God want? And all of us are here today as a demonstration that we have some form of interest in living for Jesus. Some form, whatever degree that is, all of us are expressing we have some form of interest in living for Jesus. And so the question is do I really want to please Jesus? Do I really want to satisfy him and make him happy to say, well done with me? And if I do, then am I a submitted person? Am I truly submitted to God? And when it comes to this area of authority, what does God expect of me in the realm of submission? And we're going to learn today that if I want to be able to please God, then I have to be able to know who possesses authority in my life. So first, Psalm 47, verse 8 and 9, and you'll get an outline when you leave today, but the verses will be up here on the screen. Psalm 47, verse 8 and 9 says, God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. We know that God is sovereign, right? The Bible says God is sovereign, that he is in charge, that he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He reigns supreme. So our first obligation and submission is to God. And if that was the end of the story, that would be so much more easy than what we're about to discover. Because unfortunately, not only is God in charge, but God delegates that authority out to others. John 19:11, that conversation between Jesus and Pilate, Jesus answered Pilate, you would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. And we see Jesus in the Gospels giving authority to his disciples. We see in the Old Testament God giving authority to kings. God is in charge, yes, but he gives his authority, he delegates his authority out to others. And you know what that means, unfortunately? That when I fail to submit to the earthly authorities that God has placed in my life, I'm not only rebelling against that person, I'm rebelling against God. Every time we fail to submit to the authorities God has placed in my life, then we are rebelling against God. And I feel as if God's going to cause us to squirm a little bit as we work through this series. Because again, as much as we would not think that we would run around crazy like Macaulay Culkin through the house, screaming our head off and jumping on the top of a bed, we have a hard time with authority. Not with God necessarily, at least so we think, but we do if we can't obey the earthly authority in our lives. And sometimes the authority gets it wrong, don't they? Sometimes the authority in our lives, they do the wrong thing, they make wrong choices, they don't live right. And Jesus points this out. In Matthew 20, verse 25, Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, that they take advantage of them, that they utilize the people that they rule over for their own advantage and for their own good, their self-seeking purposes. And so we know that sometimes authority figures don't do the right thing. And that can tempt us to say, well, then I don't need to do what they say when they make choices that are not right. However, that does not actually negate our call to submission. Their behavior, and even in many ways, their choices that we think aren't good choices, does not negate my responsibility to obey them. I'm going to demonstrate this for you with two verses that counter each other. We know the statement that Jesus, or that Peter and the apostles made in Acts 5. Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than man." So God is in charge, and we have to obey him rather than the people that are in our lives. But I think that sometimes we say that in the wrong context or for the wrong thing. Because you have to understand that when Peter said to the authorities, "We must obey God rather than you," he was saying that because Jesus clearly told them, "You need to go and preach the gospel to all creation. You must do that. You need to go and make disciples." That's throughout the gospel, the gospels, that it was their mandate to go and spread this message of the kingdom of God. And the authorities were telling them not to. It was a clear commandment, something that they clearly must do, that authorities told them not to do. And in that regard, they said, "We must obey God rather than you." But it's only when authorities conflict with what is clearly biblical. I refer you to 2 weeks ago when we talked about the meat sacrifice to idols. Clearly biblical is when I have several verses in a number of different books of the Bible in different genres that are directly stating, don't do that. If you have clear biblical mandates and authorities tell you not to do that, then you disobey your authority. But only in that context. Not because you don't like what they're saying. Not because you feel in your heart that it's the wrong thing. Not because you think it's going to fail or it's not fair. Only if it's biblically clear that you must or you must not. And so it doesn't matter if you don't like it. And in fact, I think that that you have not truly discovered how to submit until you've given way to the will of somebody else when you don't like it. You see, if you surrender to someone's orders, but you like what they told you to do, or you agree with what they told you to do, that's not submission. That's still your will. That's still what you think is right. But when someone tells you to do something that you don't like and you don't want to do, and again, I'm not talking about clearly biblical things or sin. I'm talking about things that's anywhere in between. Or you think it's foolish or whatever. When you disobey that authority, you don't only disobey God or man, you disobey God. And I am obligated to obey my earthly authority. And when I say that I must obey God rather than man, I think that there's an issue that is at play there. In fact, the person who said that, Peter, said that, "I must obey God rather than man," listen to what he says in 1 Peter 2. In fact, throughout that chapter, he commands us to submit to authorities. The man who said, "I can't submit to earthly authority, but I must submit to God," says submit to authority. So you know that he's not giving us a blanket to be able to just run free whenever we want to. 1 Peter 2, verse 16 and 17 says, "Live as people who are free, not using your freedom," listen to this, "as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor." Don't use your freedom as a cover-up, because I think that sometimes when we say, "Well, I must obey God rather than man," I think that's a false front. We're saying we're trying to obey God when in reality, I just don't want to do what that person's telling me to do, and I'm using that line as an excuse to not do it. That is rebellion against God, and that is evil in God's eyes when I reject the authority that God has placed in my life. I'm obligated to honor the emperor in this sense, and if you want to know anything about first century Rome, the emperor was not a nice guy. He wasn't a righteous guy, he didn't love Jesus, and he did many unjust things. It was those kind of authority figures that God was calling them to obey. And we can't even obey people when they just aren't nice to us, when they don't ask us in kind ways. And they were asked to obey evil people. And I want to encourage you to think this through, because we are, what word do I want to use here? We are contradictory at times, because for us, we don't have an emperor, we have a president, and we have Congress and those sort of things. And we are called to honor and respect the authority that God has given to a president. And for those of us who might be pro-Trump people, if you say, yes, we need to, you know, he's God's man and we need to support him, but you called President Obama the Antichrist, you are not doing what God is calling you to do. And vice versa. If you are saying, rah, rah, Obama, we need to support him, and then when Trump got in office, you begin to ridicule and tear him apart, you are not honoring the person that God has put in charge. And that's not an affirmation on either of those two individuals, because both of them were not perfect and did things that were not correct. But God has not called us to submit to people who are perfect. God has called us to submit to people who are just not asking us to do something that's clearly unbiblical. And if I disobey authority, earthly authority, I disobey God. You think about that. Every time you choose to rebel against somebody's authority in your life, you're not just rejecting them, you're rejecting God. And so the question is, am I actually submitted to God? Does my life demonstrate I'm submitted to God? So who are these people that I'm supposed to be in subjection to? Who has authority over me? First, Romans 13, verse 1 and 2. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. I am called to submit to my political authorities, which involves federal government all the way down to state and local levels. It involves, for we're a country of laws, so it's not just people who rule, but there are stated laws that we are called to follow. And so when I don't obey the traffic laws, when I don't obey being honest with my taxes, when I don't obey my political authority, I'm not just getting away with something with people and with some government. I'm rejecting God's authority in my life. We must understand that. And it doesn't matter who they are and who's in office. This says that God sets up the earthly authority. It doesn't mean that necessarily God handpicked who won the elections. It doesn't mean that we have to stick with an incumbent president, incumbent governor, an incumbent congressman. Because those, we know we live in a democracy and we can vote those people in or out. But whoever gets in, that's the person that we need to submit to, because by virtue of the office, they have authority over our lives. So police officers who enforce the law, judges who enforce the law, and let me tell you, judges sometimes they don't make decisions that we think are the right decisions, but they possess authority, and we are called to respect our political authority. Secondly, 1 Peter 2, verse 13, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Every single human institution I am supposed to surrender to or submit to. What does that mean? Well, if you work for a corporation or a company, you're a part of that organization, and you are called to submit to the authority that's within that organization. If you are a volunteer in some organization, you are called to submit to that leadership that is within that organization. Well, but what if I don't like what they're doing, and I don't like the rules that they have instituted, and I don't like the decisions that they're making? And have you ever found yourself, or maybe others, bad-mouthing the boss or the supervisor or the company itself that you work for? Remember that when you do that, you are dishonoring God. Unless they are telling you to do something clearly unbiblical, every time I rebel against what my boss has told me to do, even if I get away with it because he doesn't see that I do it, when I resist the authority that is in the organization, I rebel against God. And if you can't submit to the authority that's in the organization you're a part of, then you need to quit your job, or you need to leave that organization. And before you think that that's the best solution is to run, hold that thought before you make that kind of a choice. Thirdly, Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. Here's where we see that the spiritual or the church leadership is coming into play. As those who will give an account, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So there's authority within the church that I'm a part of. Whether it's the pastor, whether it's the board, whether it's leadership that's been set in place, these people have authority. And if I don't submit to them, it's not just rejecting the pastor or the board's decision or the membership's decision when that comes into play. I am rejecting God. We don't tend to think of things that way, do we, when it comes to the people that are in our lives? We just think it's a person and they're dumb and they don't know what they're talking about. But God says that I must obey every single authority that is placed in my life unless they call me to do something that's clearly unbiblical. Now, Many of you have been a part of other churches, and you've left those churches, and you had your different reasons. And there's nothing wrong necessarily with every time a person makes that move. But the question is, when I leave, why is it I'm leaving? Is it truly because I was called to move elsewhere, or is it because, well, I just had a problem with the way they were doing things? And the question is, were they wrong, or was I wrong when I walked away from an authority that was in my life? Fourth. And this one's sticky, and if you want to throw stones, it's in the Bible. God wrote it, not me. Okay, so I'll be like Pilate. I wash my hands of the responsibility of this statement. You ready? Colossians 3:18, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Spousal authority that is given to the husband. I did not make that choice. I don't know why God chose the husband rather than the wife. I don't know. It's not that the husband's any smarter or any more powerful or has any more wisdom or any more purity about him. It's just God chose for the husband to have authority. And so when a wife decides, well, I just don't like what he said, or I don't agree with that, or I'm not going to do that, remember that when you reject the authority that God has placed in your life, it's not just that person. It's God's authority that I'm rejecting, because God gave that person that authority. Now, that doesn't mean when they put demands that are unbiblical, clearly unbiblical, or sin, that's the statement when we get in that place of, I must obey God rather than man. But no matter how that husband might be lazy or might be crazy, any wives think your husband's crazy? No hands. My wife did not raise her hand. She's thinking about it. But just like those other authorities, political, church, organizational authority, the behavior of the person in charge is not relevant to whether or not you need to submit. You only don't submit if they call you to do something that's clearly unbiblical. And I'm not saying that that's easy. And I'm not saying that every fiber of your being wants to cry out and resist that. But just remember that when you rebel against earthly authority that God has set in place, every time you do that, you rebel against God. And we say that Jesus is Lord, but do you actually mean that with your heart? Are you actually submitted to God? Your interaction with these authority figures in your life demonstrates whether or not that's the case. The way you treat your boss, the way you treat your pastor, and I hate having to share that because I'm the pastor. I don't mean to benefit from that statement, but the way you treat your husband, the way you treat the people that are leading the organizations that you're a part of, the way you do that demonstrates whether or not you are submitted to God. Fifthly, Colossians 3:20, children. So Daquan and Faith, listen up. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Us children, when we're still, it says children, so when we're still in the household under our parents' supervision, we are obligated to do what our parents tell us to do, even when it seems so unfair. Do parents sometimes do things that seem unfair? Us adults, when you were kids, did you ever feel like your parents made decisions that you thought were unfair and not just, especially if you had siblings that didn't seem to get the same kind of instructions as you got? That is not relevant to whether or not you obey. Whether or not it's fair, whether or not it's good, whether or not it seems right to you is not relevant to whether or not you obey. And your choice to rebel or resist or disobey means you're disobeying God. Think about that. When you reject the earthly authority that God has placed in your life, you're not submitting to God. Is my heart, I call Jesus Lord, is my heart actually submitted to Jesus? Sixth, Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So I'm actually, and as much as we would think, well, hopefully he just limits this to certain people, okay, because we want to have a space of freedom and a space where we can make our own decisions. Just before we thought maybe we could find some space, he says, submit to everybody. Every single person in your life, submit to them. Now, again, it doesn't mean you do things that are sinful or clearly unbiblical, but we are called to be selfless, and we are called to put other people's interests ahead of our own. And so when we realize, well, someone else wants to do something different, or somebody else would rather not do that, I submit to other people. Or when someone tries to speak into my life, and someone confronts me and tells me, you need to stop doing that, I am called to be humble to those people and be submissive. So I can choose to move on from a church that I'm a part of because I disagree. I can choose to move on from a job, from a company that I work for or an organization I'm volunteering for. I can even choose to flee the country that I live in, which kind of always surprises me when people get frustrated with the federal government, say they want to move to Canada. And people do that on both sides, Democrat and Republican. And it makes me laugh because Canada is much more restricting as a federal government than the United States is. So we're saying, I don't like when they're telling me what to do, so I'm going to go to a country that tells me more what to do. But anyway, when you choose to run from those places, I have a question for you. Again, there could be something wrong and you need to quit that job for legitimate reasons. But I have a question for you. Are you leaving because of legitimate reasons, or are you leaving just because your will was not in line with theirs? And it wasn't going the way you thought it should go, so you ran. And if you're running, are you actually running from the church? Are you actually running from the organization? Or are you running from authority being present in your life? Because we don't like restrictions. We don't like somebody telling us what to do. We don't like someone questioning our decisions and judging us. But God has placed that in our lives. And if that church can't hold you accountable and that boss can't hold you accountable, here's the question. Who do you have in your life that can hold you accountable? Is there anybody in your life that can come to you and tell you, you need to stop doing that and you don't want to, but you listen to them anyway? Do you even have a single person that can call you to account and make you do what you don't want to do? If you don't have that, then where is your accountability and where is your authority? I'm not saying that it has to be a specific church or a specific company, but who do I have in my life that can hold me accountable? And if I don't have anybody, then who's Lord of my life? Me. I can say it's God all I want to, but I show whether or not God has authority in my life, whether or not I submit to the earthly authorities that he has given me. Now, we have authority over us, but we also possess authority ourselves in different ways. And as we go through this journey, we're going to learn more of how we're supposed to treat those who have authority over us and what we're supposed to do with the authority that God has given us. Did you know that every one of you in here possesses some form of authority? One of those authorities is in Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image and let them have dominion or power or rule over all the earth. Now, it states other specific phrases there, but it specifically mentions all the earth. You have authority over creation. Did you know that? Over the plant life, over animals, over this world. God intended for man to rule over this world, and what you do with that is going to reflect whether or not you honor God. Secondly, and this is where there is some confusion at times. There are two verses, I believe, up there. Next slide, Bonnie. The bottom one there, Luke 4, verse 5 and 6, the devil, when he's tempting Jesus, the devil says to him, to you I will give all this authority, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. Satan possesses some level of authority. We know the scripture says that he is the god of this world. But that does not mean that I need to surrender at all to any of his authority. Just because he might be running things in certain areas of the world doesn't mean that I need to submit to that. Him having authority is irrelevant to whether or not I need to submit to that. In fact, Jesus said in Luke 10:19, to believers, if you are not a believer, this does not hold true. You have no authority whatsoever. But if you are a follower of Jesus, he says, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. You have no reason to fear demonic forces. You have no reason to be in subject to them because you are actually in charge of them. Now, don't get cocky or arrogant and think you can mess with them because they're more powerful than you. Just rebuke them and tell them to leave or get behind me and be done with them because you possess authority over the enemy. Luke 17, verse 3, Jesus says, if your brother sins, rebuke him. We also have Matthew 18 that talks about, if my brother sins, I need to go and show him his fault. You have authority over other believers. You have the ability to speak into believers' lives and tell them what to do. Now, before you get excited about that and run around and start telling people what to do, Let me do two things for you. One, I'm going to look at a passage here for today for in brief, and then in a few weeks we're going to talk about how you're supposed to use authority. So before you tell someone what to do, wait until that message. Okay. Well, but what am I going to do when I really want to tell them what to do? Just wait a little bit, all right? I know some of us really like to be in charge and stuff, but hear this for a moment before you tell someone what to do. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 13 through 16. Paul writes, but we will not boast beyond limits. Now, he's going to speak about the authority that he has in people's lives, and he says, we don't boast beyond limits. He recognizes that there's a limitation to the authority that they can carry over a person and to the authority that they have over specific people. So God might have given me authority over some people. That doesn't mean that I'm in charge of everybody. And some of you might have someone that you can go to someone and say, amen. God has not put you in charge of everybody. There's a limit, and Paul would not go past it. But we'll boast only with regard to the area of influence God has assigned to us. First of all, this authority is influence. It comes by way of somebody willingly submitting to your will. And so if you gain favor with someone and they're willing to hear what you have to say and they are willing to go along with what you have to say, then that's the person that God has given you authority in their lives. If they won't give you that authority, then you don't have it. That's the limitation that has been placed upon you. So it's whether or not you have favor and influence in them. So if you don't, then just back off. Okay? They have not given you that influence, or God has not given you that influence, then back off. That also includes that if just because someone has given you an open door to speak to one area of their life doesn't mean they've given you an open door to speak to all areas of their life, all right? And you have to pay attention to whether or not you've been given that favor and that influence with them. And if you haven't, back off. Then he continues, but we'll boast only with regard, I read that already, to you, to reach even to you, for we are not overextending ourselves as though we did not reach you, for we were the first to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ. We do not boast beyond limits in the labors of others. So other people have influence in people that we're not necessarily supposed to step into. But our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged. So we know we have a measure of influence with you. We pray that as we do this right, we'll have greater influence with you, so that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you without boasting of work already done in another's area of influence. This is not easy, is it? To submit to somebody else's will. But the question is not necessarily who, but is there any place in your life that you're demonstrating that you're willing to surrender to earthly authority? In direct opposition to what you think is best, what you would like, are you truly submitted to God? Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? Romans says that if I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, then I shall be saved. Lord is not a term we use today usually. But Lord just simply means ruler. It means someone who has authority, someone who can tell me what to do and I have to do it no matter what. Who's your Lord? Is Jesus truly the Lord of your life? Are you actually submitted to God? I'm astounded sometimes when I study and read the scriptures and I see what the Bible expects of us, and I see people who say they love Jesus with all their heart and they don't do those things. Does Jesus actually have authority in your life? Is Jesus actually able to speak and say, do it this way, and you listen? And yet he expands that to the people in my life. That boss that you are going to go see tomorrow and work for on Monday, are you submitted to him or her? That husband of yours that might be a nutcase. And I mean husband. I don't mean boyfriend. I mean husband. Are you submitted to him? Those parents that you have that you feel are just so unfair, do you submit to them? The laws and the rules of the government that we live in, do I submit to those laws? Am I able, for Jesus' sake, to honor the people who are really not honorable? Just because of the office that God had given. So the question is, are you actually submitted to God? Or does something need to change in your heart? Do you need to repent? Do you need to ask for forgiveness and experience the transformation of the work of the Holy Spirit? Are you rejecting other people that are trying to speak into your life? Listen, someone might confront you with a poor attitude, and they might say it in harshness, but if what they're saying is true, I need to heed that, and I need to hear that, and I need to submit to that. I can't just blow it off because they did it wrong. Am I actually accountable to God? And so as the worship team leads us before we conclude today, if you feel like something needs to happen in your heart that needs to change in regards to authority, then I encourage you to come find a place, kneel and surrender to Him, and let Him transform your heart. So I trust by your response that you are all yielded completely to all the authorities in your life. And I hope that that continues, because it matters for eternity and for God's kingdom. Paul writes to Titus in Titus 3, "For as for a person who stirs up division after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned." If I'm a divisive person and I work against the authority out there in the world, what makes you think they're going to want to hear the gospel from you? If I'm not cooperative with the people that I live with and live around, will they hear the gospel from me? And so this matters for eternity. And it matters in-house as well. As Jesus says this in Matthew 12:25, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself can stand." If I'm divisive within, you directly impact the ability of the church to do things effectively, whether or not you're willing to surrender. So are you surrendered to Jesus today? Amen. I hope you join us next week as we dive into why authority is necessary. Why in the world did God give us earthly authority to begin with? We'll dive into that. Again, if you're joining us for the lunch downstairs, give a few moments and we'll head down there. But I love you guys. God bless you, and have a good afternoon.